The Epstein files continue to crumble the foundations of an old world loosely strung together by its anointed Luciferian power broker. Connections to Saudi royalty have surfaced, while Epstein being authorized to land at UK Royal Air Force bases has the British government scratching its head.
But who, if anyone, is following up what we now know from one email that I discovered, which is short, but brings in the Children's Investment Fund, of which Rishi Sunak was a partner. The advisor that sent it, who then goes on to also advise Sarah Ferguson, who is given a royal appointment from Mum, the Queen, for some sort of role that we don't know of, who the next day jumps on a plane to China to arbitrate a trade deal that is facilitated with Prince Andrew, who, as we know, then goes on to take probably a wholly different group of Chinese people into royal palaces, before we find out that they are not who they say they are.
The cold case of Alyssa Dmitrijeva pops back up to the surface. A 17-year-old Latvian teenager went missing in August of 2011. A dog walker stumbled across her badly decomposed, partially clothed remains on the Queen's private Sandringham estate in Norfolk, prime royal hunting ground. The kind of place where the Windsors go to shoot pheasants and escape the spotlight. Police immediately launched a full-blown murder probe. Evidence piled up. Phone pings placed her last signal near Sandringham. Two men were in custody, yet no charges, ever. Now under scrutiny as the British royal family squints in the spotlight.
There are villages within this estate, so it is open to the public in many places. Only around the house is it very private and secure. And this happened about a mile away from the main gates to the house, so it is in the Queen's backyard, you could say.
In Norway, across the pond from the UK royal demonic pedos, Crown Princess Mette Marit's son, Marius Borg Hoiby, is on trial in Oslo, facing 38 charges, including four counts of rape, aggravated assault, threats, non-consensual filming, and more against multiple women from 2018 to 2024. Newly released Epstein files expose hundreds of emails between Crown Prince Mette Marit and the Mater D of Satan from 2011 to 2018, chatting about island visits for her family, her boredom with royal life, and topics like adultery and suggesting naked women pics as wallpaper for Marius. And right on cue, because she assumes she is above the peasants, she publicly apologizes for her poor judgment.
I just think it's extremely sad. It's sad that we have people at the very top who think it's acceptable to associate with a convicted pedophile. I find that quite tragic.
However, Norway just slammed the door on elite impunity. Former Prime Minister Thorbjørn Jagland, an ex-Nobel Peace Prize committee chair and Council of Europe boss, has been charged with aggravated gross corruption over his deep ties to Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein document dumps exposed emails showing Jagland arranging solo and family trips to Epstein's luxury spots in Paris, New York, and Palm Beach, even after the financier's 2008 conviction for soliciting a minor. Jagland showered Epstein with gifts, travel perks, and possibly loans tied to his influential positions. The Council of Europe has stripped his diplomatic immunity at Norway's request, clearing the path for the indictment.
It is a very serious suspicion, and the circumstances that have been uncovered must be taken very seriously. I am glad that I live in a constitutional state where the prosecuting authorities take their responsibility seriously, and I will be careful not to get involved because it is their responsibility.
Meanwhile, back in the United States,
Goldman Sachs accepted the resignation of its chief legal officer, Kathy Rumler. Recent documents released by the U.S. Justice Department showed she accepted gifts from Epstein and advised him on how to address media inquiries regarding his crimes. Rumler is the most high-profile banking executive to depart after the release of the latest Epstein files.
Still, zero movement on the home team pedo elites. It's the same old protection racket, while the world continues to furiously crack the code. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, everyone. It is The American Journal. Today is February 24th, 2026. And I am back in the saddle again. In light of that John Bowne report, I was going to show you this clip a little bit later, but this is really disturbing. This is some video purported to show some children being pulled out of a back of a tractor trailer in London. Let's go ahead and roll that video right there.
Somebody let me know it's from Santa Fe because it don't.
You can
look
see him
like
carrying like the girl. They're literally pulling him out of the back of a tractor trailer. Now that's not how you travel with kids, right? We can all agree that that's wrong. We can agree we shouldn't be pulling kids out of the back of tractor trailers. Can we? Can we agree on that? Like, what kind of sick Fs are rolling kids around the country like that? That should disturb every one of you. Because that's your Christian leaders. I mean, they're actually Satanists, but they're just trafficking kids. And it doesn't stop. Because when you have a demand, you will have a supply. And there's a demand for this demonic behavior. People want to do demonic things to kids. And it's not just kids. Now, this is interesting. I'll go to this video. This is number 20. And I watch this, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, this is crazy. But then I'm looking at where the camera's set up, and I'm listening to the girl, the way she's screaming, and I'm wondering if some of these things, and maybe the video we just saw was staged. I don't know. I mean, are you going to get who's giving their kids up to be pulled out of the back of a truck? I don't know, but who knows what's real at this point anymore? But let's go ahead and roll 20. This is a guy stopping a migrant rape. Or I assume it's a migrant rape. Crying, he's grabbing the guy. I'm thinking if this was real, he might have tackled the guy a little harder. He seems to be kind of going easy on him, but maybe he's beating his ass right now. I don't know. I don't know why you don't drop a picnic table on the guy. You got picnic tables right there. I don't know. And it's just the way she keeps moaning. She's not saying anything, and then she's still hanging out there. Well, you're going to see her later. She pops back in the frame, and you're like, why is she staying around there? I don't know. But is this real? What do you think? You think that's real? Kind of looks real. Who has a security camera on the ground level like that? Usually security cameras are up high aiming down. Oh, we got this incredible video of one of my students rescuing a girl from a violent mugging as soon as he came across the situation. So this is based on that? Okay. John Kavanaugh posted this. Okay. Ah, so the guy had MMA training. Oh, well, there it is. Okay. Yeah, there's the wide shot. So it does look like it's real. Real footage. Oh, okay. That's a car camera. Ah, interesting. That's why I was like, that guy, you didn't see the car in the other one. So I guess somebody grabbed it and zoomed it in. Our illustrious video editors out there. I got an image I'm going to show you later. Somebody edited. That was funny. But let's get to the looming war with Iran. Tonight, Trump has the State of the Union, which I imagine he's going to be laying out the case for dropping bombs on Iran. But right now, I think there's talks going on in Geneva. But he posted this morning. No, this was yesterday afternoon. Numerous stories from the fake news media have been circulating that General Daniel Kane, sometimes referred to as Raisin, is against us going to war with Iran. The story does not attribute his vast wealth of knowledge to anyone and is 100% incorrect. General Kane, like all of us, would not like to see war. But if a decision is made on going against Iran at a military level, it is his opinion that it will be something easily won. He knows Iran well and that he was in charge of Midnight Hammer, the attack on the Iranian nuclear development site. It is a development, but rather was blown to smithereens by our great B-2 bombers. Raisin Kane is a great fighter and represents the most powerful military anywhere in the world. He has not spoken of not doing Iran or even the fake limited strike that I've been reading about. He only knows one thing, how to win. And he is told to do so. He will be leading the pack. It is so hard to read Trump's writing. My goodness. Everything that has been written about a potential war with Iran has been written incorrectly and purposely so. I am the one that makes he's the decider. He's literally saying he's the decider right here. This is a George Bush moment. I am the one who makes these decisions. I'm the decider. I would rather have a deal than not, but if we don't make a deal, it will be a very bad day for that country and very sadly its people, because they're great and wonderful, and it's something like this that should never have happened to them. Well, you know, I think it's because we got involved with that country in the 1950s, installing a new leader in their government, which is why we had it. So Pentagon risk flags major risks of operation against Iran. The warnings have been led by General Dean Kane. So who wrote that? Is that Wall Street Journal?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Can you believe anything you read anymore from these people? I mean, everything is through the anti-Trump lens or Trump bad lens. So over the weekend, it was on Friday, I think, Tucker Carlson was leaving Israel and, you know, they detained him for a little bit, were asking him questions. And then a Daily Mail reporter reported on it with, I think it was detained in all caps. And it was, you know, he went to go interview Mike Huckabee. I got a couple clips from there. We're going to start with clip one. And Huckabee's asking how many Americans put their boots on the ground for Israel. And then Tucker answers with everybody who served in Iraq. And Huckabee's like, no, that's not true. That was. And then Tucker asked him where he got the weapons of mass destruction information. And I'm going to show you that clip in a second. But let's listen to what Mike Huckabee has to say.
How many boots on the ground has the U.S. placed on behalf of Israel?
However many went to Iraq. We did that for Israel.
No, so. I don't think we did.
But you said we did it because of 9/11?
That was the U.S. justification for it.
But it wasn't for 9/11. So what was the actual reason?
Well, that's the U.S. government told us it was for 9/11. They told us that they were part of it, that they had weapons of mass destruction.
But they knew they had nothing to do with 9/11, obviously.
Maybe
there's
no
evidence.
But I'm
so what was the actual
Israel
reason?
Was not in that component.
But Israel had no influence on our decision to invade Iraq? That's not what the people who made the decision say. They say Israel.
Well, let me get back to the point.
Gave us that information about the fake weapons of mass destruction. Where do you think that came from?
The question was,
it came from Bibi.
How many Americans put their boots on the ground for Israel? The answer is zero.
Everybody who served
zero.
In Iraq
That's
put their
true.
Boots on the ground
no,
for
didn't.
Israel.
Did not.
Where did we get the information about the weapons of mass destruction that wasn't real?
We didn't get that from. You're saying we got that from Israel? That Israel was one pushed us into that?
Well, absolutely.
You really believe that?
I know that for a fact.
For
and
a
so
fact.
Does every. Yes, this has been widely written about and discussed. And I'm not attacking Israel. Like, they thought it was in their interest to take out a government that was paying the families of suicide bombers. I get it. I'm not mad at Israel about that. I never have been. I'm mad at the Bush administration and all the people who went along with this to the detriment of my country. That's who I'm mad at. Not Israel. Bibi's doing what he can for his country, whether you agree with him or not. I want my leaders to do the same for my country. That's it.
You know, where did Huckabee didn't know this, where we got the information from? Here's an AP video. And I would say it's probably dated 2002, before many people were paying attention. But this is Bibi talking about the intel they have about the weapons of mass destruction, which I guess at some point was given to Colin Powell because he showed the yellow cake in the vial, saying that this is what Saddam has and we have to imminently stop him. And he had these trucks and trailers, and then we go there and and it's all U.S. weapons they keep finding. Made in the USA. Oh, go figure. All right, here's clip two.
To conceal the efforts that he's making at producing weapons of mass destruction, we in Israel have known this for a long time. We've shared this intelligence with the United States, and I think that the United States has shared some of that today and of its own intelligence with the world. Israel reserves the natural right, I would say, obligation of any government to protect its citizens, and we shall know how to protect ourselves.
Once Saddam has nuclear weapons, the terror network will have nuclear weapons. The next thing you'll see is a nuclear bomb in the World Trade Center. If you take out Saddam's regime, I guarantee you that it will have enormous positive reverberations on the region. I think the choice of Iraq is a good choice. It's the right choice. Yeah. Eliminating the nuclear threat.
I guess for them it was positive. We killed 2 million Iraqis, starved a bunch of people, ruined a country. But we stopped that dictator. Oh, there's Colin Powell. Yeah, playing along with it. There's George Tenet behind him. And they were all for it because these guys were all invested in these giant companies that were going in there with no bid contracts. I mean, that was a giant grift. And we're still paying for it today. It was $2 trillion, I think, we spent on those wars. And I get a number on the number of hijackers that were from Saudi Arabia. Of the supposed 9/11 hijackers. There was these, you know, these guys that could fly planes in loop-de-loop circles and do these amazing. Oh, 15. Wow. 15 were from Saudi Arabia. We didn't invade Saudi Arabia. And now, you know, BB seems very concerned with nukes. Here's Tucker with basically laying out how Israel got their nukes that they don't admit they have. But it's kind of common knowledge that they have about 200. But here's Tucker bringing it up to Huckabee, and Huckabee doesn't even push back. Just like, let's move on from what you just said. But here's clip three.
Israel's nuclear weapons were created, of course, with nuclear material stolen from the United States, from a nuclear plant in Pennsylvania, as I know you know. I'm opposed to all of it. I don't like nuclear weapons. It's mass murder, as far as I'm concerned. So, no, I don't want Iran to have a bomb, obviously. The question is, what are the potential costs? And you have to factor that into any decision. And
what are the costs if they were to get a nuclear bomb? They've said for 47 years, death to America.
Well, I don't think
they target us.
I don't think Israel's...
They've targeted President Trump specifically.
Yeah. I mean,
they've hired a person to assassinate him.
Iran, BBC, and Hamas not defending him.
Good.
All I'm
saying is, in agreement on that.
Our country is not thriving, and we're spending, you know, tens and tens and tens of billions of dollars over time defending.
He said Iran hired somebody to kill Trump. So that makes, what, four assassins now? Because we just had the Mar-a-Lago gunman, Austin Tucker. Did they hire him? He doesn't have a social media presence, by the way. 21-year-old, no social media presence. We got the guy in Butler, no social media presence. Just a bunch of phantoms. Do these people even exist? I mean, they show us a picture of a person. I got more on that. I'll get to that after we finish up with Iran. Here's Rear Admiral Kirby. I wonder how he got that name. He was the spokesperson for the Pentagon under Obama. And he's being asked about these 200 nuclear weapons that supposedly, you know, well, Huckabee didn't offer any pushback. He didn't say anything about it. But here's what happens when you ask the head of the spokesperson, the spokeshole of the Pentagon, Rear Admiral Kirby, you ask him about these, and he just is like, what? I have nothing to say. Let's move on. Clip four.
It's recently come to light an exchange between Jeffrey Leeds and former Secretary of State Colin Powell, in which he acknowledges that Israel has, quote, has, he says, 200 nuclear weapons. And the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty has not been signed by Israel. Under U.S. law, the United States should cut off support to Israel because it's a nuclear power that has not signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, according to Colin Powell. Correct?
Shouldn't you ask Colin Powell that? I'm not going to speak to this particular traffic, and I'm certainly
so
not
you're saying
going to
Israel
discuss,
doesn't have nuclear weapons?
I'm certainly not going to discuss matters of intelligence from the podium. I have no comment on that.
Okay. Well, the email says the boys in Tehran know Israel has 200, all we targeted on Tehran, and we have thousands. I mean, that seems to indicate that there's a knowledge of an Israeli nuclear program, which would make U.S. aid to Israel illegal.
I think I've answered your question.
Okay. Well, let me ask: is that do I have the correct understanding of U.S. law that we're not allowed to support a nuclear power that has not signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty?
Look, we obviously support the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. I'm not a legal expert on all the tenets of it, and I'm certainly not going to speak about the details that you've revealed here in this email traffic. That would be inappropriate for me to discuss one way or the other. I'm not going to do it.
There are sanctions imposed on North Korea in response to their nuclear proliferation. There were sanctions put on Iran in response to allegations of nuclear proliferation. And now we have this email from Colin Powell saying that Israel has 200 nuclear weapons. Why is Israel not facing any consequence for this?
That's a very colorful way of getting back to the same question you just asked me. But I'm going to refer you back to the transcript when you see it this afternoon to what I said before to your question.
You are familiar with this email, right?
I'm not.
Oh,
I have not seen it. I can't speak to the email. And frankly, even if I'd seen it, sir, I wouldn't engage in that kind of a discussion from the podium.
Yeah. U.S. refuses to address email links on Israeli nukes. Disclosure about Israeli nuclear weapons raises questions about U.S. government's compliance with its own laws. Yeah. Remember yesterday we were talking about the Laken and Riley Act that made it illegal to free thieves and burglars. That's the level. If you were an immigrant, a migrant, illegal alien, whatever you want to call them, if you were busted, you had to be held and then detained by ICE. And Minnesota's just going, eh. Illinois is just going, eh. California's going, eh. We don't have to follow the law. We don't care. We only follow the laws we want to. And wait, did you go out live?
No, but now
I'm being
am.
Asked if I want the economy to collapse.
Do you want our agriculture to collapse? Do you want to lose your access to jalapenos and avocados, Rob?
Yeah. I want to lose access to jalapenos, avocados. I don't want anything anymore. That's right. That's because the only way we can have an economy is if we allow pedophiles to go free. That's it. That's what we've discovered in the last 6 months.
I mean, do you want to be the man spraying glyphosate on the crops?
No.
No, we need the migrants to spray the glyphosate on the crops.
You know, we have that great footage of the migrants spraying glyphosate, but I think it's on rice. I don't think that's on wheat. But they're spraying something on that. But let's go. We're not done with BB yet. I know Weber's trying to get me off onto glyphosate, but we're going to get to glyphosate. Don't worry. Probably in the next segment. But here's BB. This is a compilation since 1995, going back to 95, about how deadly Iran is and how we have to be fearful of them. Here it is, clip five.
If not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year. It could be within a few months.
They have the wherewithal, the stored up preserved knowledge to make a bomb very quickly if they wanted to do it.
Iran is so dangerous. Weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
They're very close. They're 6 months away from being about 90% of having the enriched uranium for an atom bomb.
Iran is gearing up to have to produce 25 bombs, atomic bombs a year, 250 bombs in a decade.
Ladies and gentlemen, time is running out.
Iran will be capable of producing alone, without importing anything, nuclear bombs within 3 to 5 years.
We have to thank the Jews. I'm surprised we're not all bowing down to the Jews, because if it wasn't for the Jews, there'd be no United States. And Bibi's here to say it. Here's clip six.
I said, Mike, that we are fighting today the battle that the Maccabees fought. They fought for the survival of the Jewish people and the Jewish faith against an enemy that wanted to extinguish us, wipe us out from the face of the earth. We were fighting our battle, but we were also fighting the battle of civilization, because our civilization is based on the Judeo-Christian tradition. And if the Maccabees had failed, there'd be no Judaism, there would be no Judeo-Christian civilization, there would be no Huckabees.
Who would play
crappy
baseball?
There would be no United States, there wouldn't be the civilization of freedom, the respect for our common traditions, our common values. All of that would not happen if it weren't for those five brave brothers. They actually made the whole difference. So that spirit animates these brave soldiers that are here today and their comrades who are fighting in Gaza or in Lebanon or in Iran, wherever is necessary to not only preserve the Jewish nation and the Jewish state, but preserve civilization against the barbarians. The barbarians are out there. They did a horrible thing to us on October 7th. They'll never do it again. But they're doing it against Jews in Sydney and Jews elsewhere in America and elsewhere. This is our common battle against the barbarians. We have won it here. We're winning it here. We'll win it everywhere. Chag Sameach. Chag Chanukah Sameach Likulchem. Toda rabah lachem. Toda rabah.
Kill the barbarians. That's right, because, you know, when you dehumanize your opponent. Oh, do we have audio of this? This is like, you know, we'll come back from break with Huckabee. Like, I think he's playing Sweet Home Alabama.
Then we start from the beginning. Hashem's holy word.
Oh, this is a cover? Wait. Sweet Home Alabama.
We all have come to help Hatzah.
Oh, I see what they're doing. They're doing that.
And we want to help it right. Bass right here.
Yeah, see if you can. Do we have a version with just the bass? You have to hear this bass play. It's atrocious. I mean, look, he shouldn't be out there playing bass lines. He should be being an ambassador. But maybe that's part of being an ambassador. When we come back, you know, I'm going to finish up on this and then jump into glyphosate, because actually Huckabee's little interview caused quite a stir, because Jordan, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Turkey, Indonesia, Qatar, Lebanon, Kuwait, Pakistan, Bahrain, Oman, Palestine, and Syria, plus the Arab League and the Gulf states, you know, had a joint statement they put out. So I'll go over that when we come back. You're watching The American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew. You can follow me on X at Dews News, DewsNewZ. Thank you for watching. We'll be right back after this short break.
K Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our Methylene Blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain. Okay. So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it. I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up, so I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
An assault weapon if you poke it in someone's eye. Every weapon is an assault weapon. You're just looking at it and you think because you saw it on a Rambo movie that it must be more lethal than anything else. That's nonsense. AR-15s, I got several. Every weapon is an assault weapon.
Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, bringing us in. Well, that was some, I mean, I don't know how he became governor. He should have been on the road with that. He's been touring with Willie. Like I said, his remarks in that interview with Tucker Carlson pissed off most of the Middle East, and then Indonesia got involved as well. And then he's just like, hey, we're pissed off too. So all those countries I listed earlier, they expressed their strong condemnation and profound concern regarding the statements made by United States Ambassador to Israel. It's Mike Huckabee, bass player extraordinaire, in which he indicated it would be acceptable for Israel to exercise control over territories belonging to the Arab states, including the occupied West Bank. They affirmed the country's categorical rejection of such dangerous and inflammatory remarks, which constitute a flagrant violation of the principles of international law and Charter of the United Nations, and pose a grave threat to security and stability of the region. And these statements directly contradict the vision put forward by President Donald Trump, as well as the comprehensive plan to end the Gaza conflict, which are based on containing escalation and creating a political horizon for a comprehensive settlement that ensures the Palestinian people have their own independent state. They underscored that plan is grounded in promoting tolerance and peaceful coexistence. Well, we'll see how that goes. I almost read this yesterday. This is a 4chan post, and it was like, where Israel's going to go on the first wave, tactical nukes, and a whole menu of death. The Americans will go with high-tech weaponry, some of which derive from alien technology. The mullahs will be vaporized along with senior military leadership. A nuke will be dropped in the desert near Tehran as a warning. Tactical nukes will be used on Iranian missile sites. Karg Island will go up. This will be over in a few days. So this is essentially, you know, kind of what's going on is Israel is giving us the opportunity to use some of our amazing weapons, like the discombobulator, tactical nukes, our superior air force. So we should be thanking them. And Newsmax is here telling us that, yes, we should be thanking them. Here's Newsmax. This is clip 7. Demanding that Christians in the United States recognize Judaism as the foundation of Western civilization and declaring Israel as its savior. See, we should be thanking the Israelis for allowing us the opportunity to go and kill more brown people. Because that's essentially what we're going to be doing. Clip 7.
You go to any church or government building, the cornerstone is most often visible. It's not usually buried in some dark subterranean corner of the foundation, never to be seen. It is the stone from which the building springs upward. There can be no doubt, however, that the building that became Western political thought and therefore the free world was built on a foundation of Judaism. Without millennia of Jewish faith and struggle, there is no Christianity. The foundation is an often unseen and much smaller component of the building structure, but it is nonetheless completely indispensable. After thousands of years of war and diaspora, Israel represents the enduring presence of Jews
in
the Holy
Land
and the protection of that biblical history. Communists and Islamists understand the critical nature of Jews and Judaism to human society. It's fundamental. That's why they attack Judaism, not just Israel, and they want to see it erased from the Middle East. Israel is therefore not just a political jurisdiction. It is a representation of Jewish political, economic, and spiritual power that is related to Christianity and related to Western society and the free world. The jihadists and the Marxists both know that a building unsupported by its foundation will crumble. If Judaism is broken through the erasure of Jews from the Middle East, which is the goal of the Palestinians and the radical Islamists, then Christianity will also become more vulnerable. Spreading generically anti-Israel messaging is anti-Semitic because weakening Israel's right to existence will lead to not only the killing of more Jews, but the erosion of Judeo-Christian principles upon which the Western world is based.
Well, I just want to pledge my allegiance to Israel and they're giving us the opportunity for killing brown people. And I think it's commemorated with this image that I found. Look at this. Isn't this a work of art? People do amazing things on the internet. We have our Lord and Savior, leader of the Jewish people, riding upon a steed of Alex Jones with a head of Nick Fuentes and a gay Tim Pool. And we got Tiny Ben there in the background. I'm not sure who this guy is. Josh Hammer. Oh, okay. He's the one telling us what we can say and what we can't say. That's good. This is what it's about in the United States. You know, letting other people tell us what we can say, who we can worship, who we can thank. So I'm here right now saying thank you to Israel for giving us the opportunity to kill more brown people. And with that, we'll move on to glyphosate. Let's move on to something a little bit funner to talk about. Let's start off with this. This is RFK Jr. talking about why gluten allergies have skyrocketed since 2006. Here's a hint. It's glyphosate.
In 2006, they discovered that Roundup was a desiccant. So that, and what that means, if you spray it on a crop, it will actually dry out the crop. And one of the big enemies of the farmer is that if there's rain around the time of harvest, their crops can get wet, and then they get moldy, and then it ruins the entire silo.
Yeah.
And so what Monsanto did is they began telling farmers, spray this on the crop, on your wheat, right before harvest or at the time of harvest. And it was so popular that about 85% of the Roundup that has been used in history has been used since 2006.
Wow.
And a large part of that is as a desiccant. And what that meant, Mark, is for the first time they're spraying it on food.
Yeah.
Right at harvest.
Yeah.
And for the first
time. Not early in the season when it may have a chance to wash off, but actually just before you're going to eat it.
Right. And they're spraying it for the first time on wheat because there was no such thing as Roundup Ready wheat.
Yeah.
They started spraying it on wheat as a desiccant. And so 2006 marks the date when suddenly these gluten allergies began exploding.
Interesting.
The celiac disease and all these kind of wheat problems that we started seeing in this country. If you measure back and say, when did it start? You can look and draw a red line, and it's 2006, and it's the year that they began spraying it on wheat.
So there you have the old glyphosate that they're just spraying it on wheat, but don't worry, it's fully safe. This is an old clip, and this is, what's his name? Patrick Moore. That's right, Patrick Moore. He was the head of Greenpeace in Canada. And he's in an interview talking about how great glyphosate is. I think this is around 2012, because I remember when this clip was new out there. But, you know, a lot of people probably haven't seen this. But this is interesting. This is Patrick Moore praising glyphosate. And then you'll be shocked at what happens next.
I do not believe that glyphosate in Argentina is causing increases in cancer. You can drink a whole quart of it and it won't hurt you.
You want to drink some? We have some here.
I'd be happy to, actually, but not really. But
not really.
I know it wouldn't hurt me.
If you say so, I have some glyphosate.
No, I'm not stupid.
Ah, okay. So you.
No, but I know
so
that,
it's dangerous.
I know. People try to commit suicide with it and fail fairly regularly.
Tell the truth.
It's not dangerous to humans. No, it's not.
So are you ready to drink one glass of glyphosate?
No, I'm not an idiot. Interview me about golden rice. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, then it's finished.
Except,
the interview is finished.
That's a good way to solve things.
Yeah. You're a complete jerk.
Aw. But I thought it was safe. You could drink a whole gallon of it, right? And he just said that. Oh, okay. Well, when your bluff gets called, your bluff gets called. Now, here's an interesting... Somebody jumped online and said, we don't need glyphosate to kill pests. That's not what it's being used for. It's being used to dry the wheat. And even though it was originally an herbicide, you round up, they tell you to spray on your dandelions, right? Remember the whole campaign to spray Roundup on your dandelions? Oh, did you know dandelions are a great source of tea and like vitamin C that you can use, and it like helps your heart. Like literally you have it growing in your yard. Like the answer to most heart problems is out there growing in your yard. You can just make tea out of it, out of the roots and out of the flower and everything. No. You got to spray a poison on it that gives you ball cancer. That's better. So here's a video, and you can just roll the video of a machine. And I've seen these before. It's pretty interesting. It's shooting lasers at weeds and pests, and actually just shooting these, just knocking them out. And then this caused quite a debate on X. We had the Ruben Hermit pointed out that, you know, the cost of glyphosate wheat is $10 an acre, but if you're using lasers, it becomes $300 an acre. So then people went to Rock and said, Rock, is this true? And Rock said this. Rock said, hypothetically, assuming glyphosate causes 75 of those diseases and lasers eliminate it. So you're just using lasers. So the cost is $300 billion for 177,000 machines at $1.7 million each. And then you got to think of all the upkeep and maintenance. I bet those lasers have to be cleaned periodically. Annual government savings, $101 billion. Payback is in 3 years, less than 3 years. And those machines have a 7 to 10 year lifespan, totaling 708 to 708 million to 1.1 billion net. Return on investment to 135 to 236%. Causation debated, actuals may vary. And then it says, now you can write it as a business plan, including a PowerPoint presentation, and present it to the legislators who haven't sold their souls to Big Pharma. But see, that defeats the whole purpose, because it's not about weed killing and it's not about pests. It was about drying out the wheat quicker so it didn't spoil. So what's the solution? What is the solution to the glyphosate problem? It is to support companies that don't have wheat and flour that is sprayed with glyphosate. Here's one we found yesterday. We actually invited them on, but I think they thought we might be a little too political. Us? Really? Political? What? We're all about health. Health and freedom and information. This is ovenfreshdelivery.com. I'm just giving them a plug because I think people should know that there's real solutions out there. They make sourdough tortillas. I think that's amazing. And if you look on there, all the things it says, one of them is glyphosate free. So they have sourdough bread. You can get it all delivered glyphosate free. Our grains are tested and glyphosate residue free. Glyphosate and glyphosate residue free. USA organic, egg free. No cross contamination with soy. And certified delicious. You can't beat that. So
thank God you didn't miss that.
Yeah, certified delicious. I mean, you know how much it costs to get a delicious certification? It costs a lot of money. So seriously, check them out. I'm actually going to order some. I don't know if I'm going to order the tortillas, but definitely sourdough bread. Big fan of sourdough bread with butter and honey on it. Honey butter bread. Ovenfreshdaily.com. Tell them Rob Dew sent you. And tell them they should come on the show, and we should talk about why it's so important to be eating grains and flours without, you know, being sprayed with glyphosate so it can dry out the crops. So there it is. There's our glyphosate. Matt tried to jump the gun and go to glyphosate early, but we weren't quite done with bowing down to the Israelis. Here's another clip. This is Kennedy again, and I believe this is Kid Rock looking like a professional golfer. And on One Nation with Brian Kilmeade, talking about processed food, because that's also another problem. In addition to the glyphosate, we have this food that is made in factories so it could be made quickly. And if you can actually look at the ingredients of like just like Honey Nut Cheerios. When it first came out, it had like, you know, 10, 15 ingredients. Now it's got like 40. And of course, it's being made with dried glyphosate wheat. Of course. So here's Kennedy talking about the processed food we eat and why we should just eat regular whole food.
We have the worst chronic disease burden of any country in the world, and it's because of our food. It's 70% of the food that we eat is ultra-processed food, and it's not really food. It's just, it's poison. It's food-like substances. We're going to change that now, and we're laser-focused on making it affordable. The federal government pays for 45 million school lunches a day, and we are about to issue regulations and recommendations to make sure that our kids are getting good food. And what we're finding is that it's actually cheaper, counterintuitively, it's cheaper to eat well than it is to eat processed food. We're changing the military right now. We're going into 20 bases with Chef Robert Irvine. And the meals that are now terrible that are given to our military cost $18 a day per soldier. He's feeding them fresh whole foods for $10 a day. So you don't need to spend more money. You just need to be smarter. And we're going to help educate people about how to do that. And we're going to make sure there is fresh food in every jurisdiction, any place, the thousands of places that accept food stamps, the retail outlets in this country are going to be required to double the amount of whole food that they sell. And that's going to change the market as well.
So that's Kennedy talking about the processed food. But let's go back to glyphosate, because he caused an uproar this week with this tweet that came out a couple days ago. Let's see when exactly. It's a long one, too. I'm not going to read all of it, but this came out 2 days ago, February 22nd. Got 2.7 million views. Pesticides and herbicides are toxic by design, engineered to kill living organisms. When we apply them across millions of acres and allow them into our food system, we put Americans at risk. Chemical manufacturers have paid tens of billions of dollars to settle cancer claims linked to their products, and many agricultural communities report elevated cancer rates and chronic disease. And that's the good part. Here comes the bad part. Unfortunately, our agricultural system depends heavily on these chemicals, and the U.S. represents 4% of the world's population, yet we use 25% of its pesticides. If these inputs disappeared overnight, crop yields would fall, food prices would surge, and Americans would experience a massive loss of farms beyond what we are witnessing today. So he's supporting President Trump's executive order to bring agricultural chemical production back to the United States. So are we going to get organic glyphosate now? Is that what that means? And end our near total reliance on adversarial nations, which is China and other nations where we get glyphosate from. His executive order protects two pillars of national strength, our defense readiness and our food supply. When hostile actors control critical inputs, they directly threaten the security of the American people. The Trump administration will secure these supply chains and eliminate their vulnerability. Now, President Trump did not build the current system. He inherited it. For decades, Washington designed modern agriculture. Policymakers wrote farm policy, directed research dollars, structured subsidies, blah, 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 basically to increase the amount of pesticides we use in our food. Now, he says this. This is, I think, the key. We are changing course without destabilizing the food supply. So they're accelerating the transition to regenerative agriculture by expanding farming systems that rebuild soil, increase biodiversity, improve water retention, and reduce reliance on synthetic chemicals, including pre-harvest desiccation. That's spraying Roundup on your wheat to make it dry out. We're also driving the rapid adoption of next-generation technologies, including laser-guided weed control, electrothermal and electrical systems, robotics, precision mechanical cultivation, and biological controls that replace blanket spraying and with precision intervention. These solutions are not theoretical. Farmers are already putting them to work. Markets are scaling them. He's met with hundreds of farmers, and he's leading the HHS to create a gold standard of science working around this. And President Trump has opened the door to this debate and backed meaningful change, not only in policy, but the national conversation. American farmers stand at the center of this movement. They deserve policies rooted in rigorous science and economic reality. Our children deserve a food system that protects and strengthens their health. With the president's leadership, we're securing critical food supply chains, confronting health risks in our current system, and deploying every tool available to build a stronger, safer, more resilient American food supply. So, you know, if people are reading headlines, they're like, oh, Kennedy backs glyphosate, which is not what he's doing. What he's saying is, this is our current system. We are going to secure these horrible chemicals, I guess, and make them organic, so then we can deploy a new system, which is going to be based on having good soil and using, you know, these, I call them little finger robots that are going to pick weeds and stuff like that, and lasers. So, but of course, people were pissed off. In 2014, or 2024, he said, the herbicide glyphosate is likely one of the likely culprits of America's chronic disease epidemic, much more widely used here than in Europe. Shockingly, much of our exposure comes from the use of a desiccant on wheat, not as an herbicide. From there, it goes straight into our bodies. My USDA will ban this practice. Yeah, because they spray it on and it soaks on right before they cut it down to let it dry. So it's just sitting there. It's disgusting. And I'll end the food presentation with this. This is Gary Brecka talking about folic acid. Now, when this guy's here having kids now, and I've got four of them, and folic acid was always something the doctors said, you know, told my wife to take. Be sure you take your folic acid. Be sure you take your folic acid. And here's Gary Brecka talking about this, of what folic acid actually is. And when we come back, I'll have a little more to spread.
We passed a law that required the federal government to spray all of our grains, all pasta, all bread with the chemical folic acid. You cannot find folic acid anywhere on the surface of the earth. We make it in a laboratory. Anything that is fortified or enriched has been sprayed with folic acid. Half the population cannot break down folic acid.
Then why do they put it in the food?
They put it in the food because folic acid, when it breaks down into methylfolate, helps prevent neural tube defects in pregnant women. It actually helps a fetus develop. When there was a high number of neural tube defects and miscarriages in pregnant women, they surmised that they needed to supplement with folic acid, which was patently false. You need to supplement with methylfolate. And so they required our grains, flours, rice, pasta, cereals of any kind be sprayed with this chemical folic acid. What we really should have done was spray it with methylfolate, the form the body can use. This is the leading cause of postpartum depression in young women. What is the first thing an OBGYN tells a young woman that gets pregnant to do? Take high doses of folic acid. What happens if she has that gene mutation, which almost half the women have? She immediately goes nuts. Why is it that we think that a man-made chemical that didn't even exist until 1993 is somehow essential for human performance? It can't be. What's essential is what comes from nature, like folate and methylfolate.
So you got to be aware of this. You may have a genetic mutation that doesn't allow you to process folic acid. They say half the population has it. And it's also tends to be the cause of postpartum depression. So what you want to do is find a source of methylfolate. And that's what you need to do. Entree. What do we got? We got a minute 27 left. Let's just do this. You know, in order for us to continue to work here and provide the information that we do need your support out there watching, spreading the clips, spreading the articles, spreading the information, just spreading the word in general. Like this bread company, you know, we didn't ask for anything from them. I'm just spreading it because they're not spraying glyphosate on the wheat they use, or they don't use wheat that has glyphosate on it either way. That's the kind of food you want to put in your body. And also the other things you want to put in your body are, you know, different formulas of things. Like we have all kinds of formulas. We have Methyl Drive, Power Plant at the alexjonesstore.com. We also have Methylene Blue. There's the Ultimate Methyl Drive. It goes really good with Power Plant and Methylene Blue to kind of just really take your body systems to the next level. The Methylene Blue is amazing because it allows your mitochondria to work more efficiently. And I'm still haven't taken it. I took it for about a month and a half, a pill every other day. And I'm waiting to see when the brain fog comes back because it hasn't come back yet, which I think is amazing. So check it all out. The Methylene, Ultramethylene Red, all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And right now, until Wednesday, the 25th at midnight, you get $10 off every order.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, St. Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. They're like, God, that's a huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.